Job 14, verse 1. Barry quoted this verse last night. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doest thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have desire to the work of thine hands. For now thou numberest my steps. Doest thou not watch over my sin? Thy transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. We'll conclude our reading right there. Let's bow to pray. Father, tonight, Lord, there's not a worse words in my heart to describe the thankfulness for what you've done for my heart in this meeting, and I'm sure for the hearts of others. Lord, the preaching's been so timely in the last week. I'm still reminded of Brother's message on Friday night, Brother Finney, God over Brother Willis's, and what he preached on. And Lord, how Brother Aldridge preached last night, and the men that preached this morning, Brother Rackley last night, God's been so helpful. I want to thank you, Lord. Out of my heart, I want to thank you, Lord, that you, in your own way, there's no way we could design a message that would fit every need, but you can. And Lord, I pray tonight, it's in my heart, God, to want to say something that would draw our attention from this world of heaviness, this world of hurts, and Lord, would draw our attention upon you tonight, and Lord, upon what you have for us. We love you. If I said that a million times, it wouldn't be enough. Lord, I do love you, and I do praise you. I do exalt you, esteem and extol and exalt the name of our eternal God. We bless you for all you've done, and for all you're going to do. Encourage all of us, and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you were here this morning, Brother Raines give us somewhat of the introduction to the book of Job. Job in the Bible is set down as a man of suffering, but also as a man of patience. James 5, 10 and 11 said this, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. I've done a lot of looking at that statement. Amen. The end. It's not always the beginning nor the middle of a thing. It's the end of a thing. Amen. And have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. Amen. And of tender mercy.
Yes.
Oh my. Amen. You have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. To be able to understand something, sometimes we have to come to the end of it before we can see all of it. It's pointed out in chapter 1. If you want to go there, I'll tell you in a few minutes what I'm going to preach on. It's stated in chapter 1, we see that Job is a godly man. We know that. Job 1, this was preached so well this morning. He had faith in God. He followed God. He was a perfect and upright man. He feared God, the Bible said. He was faithful to God. He eschewed evil. He was a godly man. Not many godly people in that world. He was a godly man. But then he was a gifted man. God had blessed Job abundantly. So much Job possessed. He had sons and he had daughters. He had substance. And if I can put it in the sense of the outline, he had sense. You can't read the book of Job and not realize that he was an intelligent man. I don't think you could miss that if you read the book of Job. He was an intelligent man. So he was a godly man. He was a gifted man. But he was a great man. The Bible said in chapter 1 verse 3 that so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He was a great man because he had great riches. He had a great reputation, and he was a man that had great recognition from both God and man. But Job became a grieved man. Everything that looked good in his life, a godly man, a good man, a gifted man, a great man, but he became a grieved man. Chapter 2, verse number 13 says this at the last, for they saw that his grief was very great. Job was a grieved man. If you study the Bible, I'm just coasting out slow a minute, but if you study the Bible, you recognize that Job's suffering lasted for months. And we can gather that from chapter 7, verse 3. He said, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. Chapter 29, verse 2, he said this, oh, that I were as in the months past. And so this grief in Job's life was for many, many months. Now, most of us that have trials in our life, most of the time, are short-lived. I think you'll agree with that. But Job suffered for months. Amen. Night and day and night for I don't know how many months, but for months. He was grieved at the hand of Satan, and he was grieved at the hand of the sovereign. If I can skip some of this and tell you just a minute about what Job went through, and then I'll tell you what I'll preach on. When I read chapter 14, here's what's going on in Job's life. You know it as well as I do. His family is dead. I really, before God, I'm not sure that anybody can understand the grief that Job must have been going through. 10 children in a day's time. I saw a man on the TV the other day who lost his twin daughters in that flood in Texas. And mom and daddy was just crying their eyes out. 2 children. Job lost 10. His family is dead. That's enough place on anybody. But his flesh is diseased. He's eat up from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet with boils. Just stay with me. His finances are depleted. Everything he's had, he's lost now. His cattle, his oxen, and his donkeys. His friends have deserted him. I could not. Just the grief of the thought that went through my heart. I could not understand the hurt that it would be for Brother Willis and Brother Rackley, Brother Rowell, Brother Jarvis, Brother Wenzel, and Brother Moss just to overnight just turn against me and start chopping me off at the feet. His family's dead. His flesh is diseased. His finances are depleted. His friends have deserted him. And I could give you verses for all this, but his future looks dark. He can't see any future for himself. And this one, you can gather it through chapter 6 to chapter 9 and through chapter 10. His father seems to be destroying him. I'm talking about the Lord. He said, he set me up as a mark. And he's shooting his arrows at me. And in one place or two, I could give you the verses, but time won't allow it. What place or two, he said, he's destroying me. You ever felt like maybe even your father in heaven was shooting hot arrows at you and you was feeling like God was destroying you? It's off quiet. His fame is denied him in chapter 19. All the little children are making fun of him. The people in town that he helped and fed and the orphans, they're laughing at him. His fame has been denied him. And when I study chapter 9, I realize that his faith is dwindling. If I could find the right verse, his faith, his very faith is dwindling. He says this in chapter 9. He said, lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. He said, I can't even see when God's near. He said, behold, he taketh away, and who can hinder him? Who can say unto him, what doest thou? He goes on in verse 16. He says this, if I had called and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. He said, even when I pray, I'm not even sure God's hearing me. And so in chapter 14, I've got to hurry, but in chapter 14, Job is grappling. If you look there, and I've still not arrived what I'm going to preach on yet, but Job is grappling with three things in chapter 14. He's pondering the mystery of human suffering. Verses 1 through 3, and I can't preach on that. But in verses 3 and 4, he's plagued with the mystery of human sin. He speaks of divine judgment in verse 3 and divine justification in verse 4. Who shall bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Is God going to bring me into judgment? And how in the world can I be right with God? He's pondering the mystery of human sin, and he's plagued by the mystery of human suffering. But then he's perplexed by the mystery of human separation, death. If a man die. Now you understand, and I'll come quickly to what I want to say. You understand that Job didn't have the light that you and I have. The understanding of death and the life beyond and heaven and all the truth, Oh, bless the Lord that you and I understand. We have truth that he didn't have. We have light that he did not have. We have understanding that he did not have. I'm glad, thank God, because of the word of God and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I see out yonder where Job could not see. Isn't that a blessing? So, somebody might have said to Job, they might ask this question. And I know I'm repetitious and I'm draggy. I'm not like Brother Wenzel. He's like a freight train. He gets up. And I'm just not that way. I'm just me, and I learned a long time ago, if I don't be me, they won't be a me, and you won't have a me. And you need a me. At least my wife thinks we do. Whether you do or not. So somebody might have said, Job, how are you going to make it? Your family's dead. Your flesh is diseased. Your finances are depleted. Your friends have deserted you. Your future looks dark. Your father seems to be destroying you. Your fame's been denied you. And your faith is dwindling. How are you going to make it? What are you going to do, Job? And the answer comes in verse 14. And I want to preach on this subject. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. I want to preach on this subject. I'm looking for a change. Job said, yes, sir, it is bad. But someday, there's a change coming. Things are not going to always be as they are. I'm looking, Job said, I'm looking for a change. So, let me just say three things and I'll get to my text. There's three things I'm not looking to change. One, I do not expect the mindset of society to be reversed. Amen. The mindset of society is like concrete. It's all mixed up and it's hard set. And I don't mean to bust your bubble, but it probably ain't going to change. We get all down the mouth because of where we're at. But if we're going to get to where the Bible says we're going to get to, this thing's got to get a lot worse before it gets better. Amen. Amen. So I'm not looking for the mindset of society to be reversed. I'm not looking for the masses of sinners to repent or be regenerated. And I'm not looking for the majority of saints to be revived. Now, God forgive me if I'm out of order here, but I'm just not looking for it. But I am looking for a change. When I look, thank God, in the Word of God, I realize that a change is on its way. So let me just give you four or five things tonight, four maybe, that I'm looking to change. Number one, I'm looking for a change of robes. You know the verse, you can look at it, 2 Corinthians 5. Won't you just peek over there just a minute? 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, he said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desire to be clothed upon with our house from heaven. Let me just try to move on a minute. I'm looking for a change of robes. Stay with me a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 and verse 49. You know the verses. It ain't a thing you ain't heard a million times. Verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15:47. For the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all... be changed. Don't get excited now. There's a change coming. It won't always be that I have to wear these things. And the eyesight's going to get better someday. Amen. And thank God the bones ain't going to hurt someday. Amen. Are you trying to hear me tonight? Amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of the sons of God. Amen. It doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we do know that when he shall appear... we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I'm telling you, there is a change coming. Philippians chapter 3, for our conversation is from heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. After a while, a change is coming in our bodies. Amen. That ought to rejoice us tonight. I'm looking for a new robe. I'm going to lay aside this old house. Thank God after a while, and thank God after resurrection, I'll get a new body that's fashioned like unto the image of the dear Son of God. That ought to stir us up. How you going to make it, Job? There's going to come a change one day. I'm going to change robes. Amen. That helps me whether it helps you or not. Amen. I've been sick all my life. I was born sick. My mom and daddy, the doctors told my mom and daddy, said he'll die before he's 8. I'm 67. They kind of missed that one. But I've been sick all my life. I've had heart trouble. I've had issues all my life. I've never been in a healthy body. But I'm telling you, I'm looking for a day. No more sickness. Amen. No more pains. No more dull eyes and deaf ears. No more canes. I live on medicine. I take about 12 pills every morning. Amen. I live on medicine, and probably most of you do too. Brother Sammy Allen. Amen. I'll not say that again. Somebody said, you get any rest last night? I said I couldn't go to sleep, and I finally took what Sammy Allen called Christian liquor. I finally took some NyQuil. Amen. Sammy Allen called it Christian liquor. I don't know about that. Y'all keep that in the house, will you? But amen. But he said, God, Dad, it's going to be a day where, thank God, them that laid down in a corruptible body are going to raise in an incorruptible body. And them that laid down in a mortal body are going to be raised in an immortal body. And them laid down in shame and suffering, they're going to come out, praise God, in a new body. Hallelujah to God. I say, bless the Lord in hell. I'm looking, praise God. I'm looking for a change in robes. What about you? Romans 8 said the whole creation groaneth to wit the redemption even of our bodies. Oh, when I was 20, I didn't groan too much. We got a boy that's about 32 now, and big, stout, 6'4", and a big old stout boy. And he's not our flesh and blood boy, but I love him like he's my own. And a few years ago, I was moving a little slow, and he said, come on, would you? You're moving slow. I said, go ahead, big dude. It'll happen to you, too. Yeah. Amen. You didn't mean to turn 80, but it slipped up on you, didn't it, brother? Amen. And with 80 comes some more pains. And I told the church the other day, I said, if it ain't hurting, it ain't working. Amen. And praise God. But thank God, I just wanted to tell you something tonight. With all your heartaches and all your problems in your body and in your soul and in your spirit, there is a change coming. You'll not always be what you are right now. It will get better. Amen. Hallelujah, it will. Right now, I live in a wretched body. Oh, wretched man. Right now, I live in a wicked body. The heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I live in a wayward body. All we like sheep have gone astray. My flesh, Paul said, and I've got to hurry on. Paul said that we'll be delivered from this vile body. That word vile means humiliating. My body humiliates me. It makes fun of me. It lets me down. I stepped out of my truck here a while back and fell right under it. I was literally under it. I fell for 40 minutes. I got a hold of doorknobs. I got a hold of the bottom of the truck. And finally, when I got done falling, I was under it. And the first thing I looked, I wasn't worried about whether I was hurt or not. I was wondering if anybody seen me. Did you ever fall for 40 minutes? When I got done, I hit the truck and I said, "You stupid thing." Truck didn't have one thing to do with it. But won't you glad, thank God. I told my wife the other night, I got to hurry on. I told my wife the other night, I got up, I'm eat up with arthritis and gout. And I got up the other night and headed through the house and I'm walking like this. And I told my wife, I said, "You know, I used to make fun of my stepdad. And I'd say, looked like he'd pick up his feet and go on. And I said, now I'm walking just like him." It'll happen, hang around, dude. I told you this ain't nothing deep, but I was hoping to encourage you a little bit. Not only am I looking for a change of robes, I'm looking for a change of residence. Right now, my address is 36311 Loves Mill Road, Chilhowee, Virginia. I'm changing residence one day. Amen. It's going to be addressed to Glory Boulevard. In care of heaven. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm changing houses one day. Praise the Lord. Amen. One day I ain't gonna live on earth. My house right now is made of block and mortar and wood and stone. Amen. And mason our vinyl side. But thank God, don't get happy now. Don't go ahead and get too tore up. But thank God, one day that city's gonna be a pure gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, street of gold, water clear as crystal. Amen. Proceeding out under the throne of God. Amen. I'm changing residence. Amen. Amen, Brother Mixon. Ain't it going to be a blessed day? Somebody said it's going to be an awful day. Oh, no, friend. Amen. I remember an old lady. I'd preached revivals in her church been 40 years ago. She was the biggest lady I ever seen. She was about almost 7 foot tall. I mean, son, she don't know where she grew up at. She was a huge woman. Amen. The old church was rickety, and the floor joist was weak, and the walls was weak. And I remember one night I got to preaching, and they got to singing that song. I forget the name of it right now, but John saw it. Amen. And her name was Ellen, Sister Ellen. And Sister Ellen got to jumping, and the whole building got to shaking. I thought, Lord God, she much more, she's going through the floor. And I'll never forget what she said. After it all died down, Sister Ellen testified, and she said, "I'll tell you one thing right now." She said, "They tell me that the gates of heaven's made of pearl." She said, "If they don't open it wide when I come through, I'm taking it off the hinges." And I thought, if it can be done, you can do it, honey. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, thank God, one day, oh yes, one day, heaven's gates are going to swing open wide, and God's going to welcome every saint of God into that holy city. Praise God. I'm changing residence one day. This earth ain't going to be my home anymore. It ain't going to be a house of block and stone and wood and mason. Amen. It's going to be a house not made with hands, a place prepared, a city made by our God himself. Amen. Fashioned alike unto its maker, made by the hands of the Holy God. Amen. Amen. Are you changing residence? We had an old lady in our church. She's dead now. I'm preaching too hard. And she, I'd go visit her, and she was in her 90s. She had four children, and she lost three of them. She lost two of them in a month in their 60s. And I went to visit her one day, and she lived in a little old bitty house. It was just bad shape. And I said, "Miss Shirley, won't you be glad when you get to go to heaven?" I never had nothing surprise me so bad in my life. She said, "No." I said, "Why not?" She said, "I've got some pretty stuff." I said, "Do what?" She said, "I've got some pretty stuff." I said, "Honey, there ain't nothing pretty. What you got here is what God's going to give you yonder."
Yeah.
They can have my house, my land, my apple trees. They can have every bit of it. They can have my old wore out recliner. Amen. Amen. Don't look at me like that. They can have it all. I don't need one thing where I'm going, praise God. Amen. Why don't you go ahead for a minute and forget, Job, what you're going through, and say what Job said. I know it's bad, but I'm looking for a change.
Amen.
Number three, I'm out of breath. Tell you this real quickly, I am. They done surgery on this. They inserted a probe right here to deaden the nerves of my arm. And what they did, they deadened my diaphragm and my right lung. And it wound up putting me in the hospital for 2 days, and they about killed me. I'm kind of like that old boy. I'm having a good time. Wish y'all was. Kind of like that old boy down in Tennessee sitting on the back of a church. And it's a true story. He was sitting on the back of a church one night. Everybody's testifying what God had done for him. And his last name was Jones. That's the truth. And the pastor said, he's sitting back there and his mouth was like his. Mouth's all drawed. And he got hit by lightning about a year and a half before it about killed him. The pastor said, "Brother Jones, won't you stand up and tell what the Lord done for you?" He said, "He about killed me. That's what he done." That anesthesiologist about killed me. My right lung's so bad I still can't get no breath. Yeah, that's what he said. He said he about killed me. That's what he done. Hey, man. Well, that killed a meeting right there. I'm looking for a change of robes. I'm looking for a change of residence. But number three, I'm looking for a change of rule. Right now, the God of this world is in control. But Daniel said, "I saw an image one day, head of gold, chest of silver, legs of brass and toes of brass and iron, or wooden and iron, clay and iron." He said, "But I beheld that thing. I watched it until I saw a stone roll down and smote that image on its feet." Daniel said he seen a vision where he saw the kingdoms of this world, Egypt, and then the kingdom of Assyria, and then the kingdom of, or the kingdom of Egypt, and then of Babylon, and then of Assyria, and then of Babylon again, and then Medo Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome, that nondescript beast, the last image of the beast. But he said, "I beheld, and when that until the Ancient of Days come," and he bound that man hand and foot and threw him in the fire. "And I watched until one like the Son of Man came forth, and they gave him a kingdom whose kingdom shall never end." Amen. After a while, it ain't going to be the Clintons and the Obamas and the wicked rebels of our generation. He said, "I watched until the kingdom was given to the saints of the Most High, and they'll rule forever and ever and ever." right now we're stomped down and pressed down. Amen. But thank God one day we're going to be the head and not the tail. Amen. We're going to be ruling. It's going to be like Joseph. Just overnight, we're going to be taken out of the pit and cleaned up and set on the throne. Amen. Praise God. I'm looking for a new rule, a change in rule. Now, I don't mean to be mean here. Y'all might fall out with me right here, but I voted for Trump and I'd vote him for him again before I'd vote in the rest of that crowd. But Trump ain't my savior. But I've got one that one day over there in Revelation 15, he said in verse number 11, he said, and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Amen. I hear them singing in Revelation 5. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, people, and nation, and made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign with him. I'm telling you, don't be fretful if this world, Brother Reed, if they don't go along, and if they push and shove against us all the time. This ain't our world. This ain't our kingdom. But thank God I'm looking for the change in rule. Won't it be grand? Won't it be glorious? When sitting over yonder in Jerusalem, you read about it in Ezekiel chapter 40 through chapter 47, 48. You can read about that new temple. And in chapter 47, he said, I saw the place of his feet. He'll be ruling with a rod of iron. Our wonderful Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking. Are you looking for that tonight? Are you looking for a change in rule or rulership? I am. Sometimes I just like to get a hold of that crowd and throttle them, wouldn't you? I get aggravated at them. You get aggravated at them, Brother Wendell? I get aggravated at them. I do. I get aggravated at them. I'm like Brother Lester Roloff. I heard Brother Lester Roloff so once. He said he heard some of that Church of Christ crowd preaching down there in Texas. I said, Lord, if you'll let me, I'll go down there to that radio station and I'll fix their lips where they can't never lie through them no more. Some of y'all didn't get that. He said, I'll fix their lips where they can't never lie through them no more. That's real spiritual right there. That's my kind of preacher. Sometimes I feel the same, don't you? I mean, I do. I get aggravated at it. But then I come to realize that man that's coming in Revelation 13, that man of sin of 2 Timothy chapter 2, someday he's going to come and he's going to take over, and the world's going to find one final despot. Amen. He's going to be deputized of Satan himself to rule the earth, and he's going to rule it. But thank God at the end of it, Revelation chapter number 19, that rider on the white horse with holiness to the Lord rode on his side. Amen. Thank God he's going to come back. Timothy said this about him in 1 Timothy 6. He said, in his own time, he'll show who is that only potentate. He'll show. After a while, he'll show. He'll trample them underfoot and the blood will run for 200 miles. He'll show this world who's still in control. Don't be cast down, oh my soul. Why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God. There's still a change coming. And fourthly, and I'm done. I'm looking for a change of robes. I'm looking for a change of residence. I'm looking for a change of rule. But lastly, I'm looking for a change of rest. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. Amen. I've been preaching going on 47 years. I've pastored almost 46 of that 47. Labored last 30 years. I've preached just about every week somewhere. Sometimes your body gets tired. You just lay down. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Willis. You just lay down. And I remember, you know, you don't know anything until you get about 60. Help me, Lord. In a meeting some years ago, if I called this preacher by name, everybody here knows him. We was preaching together. I was about 40. He was 65. And he was having all day meetings, morning, evening, and night, morning, evening, and night, morning, evening, and night. And so I met him in the motel, I think on a Wednesday, headed back to the evening meeting. And I said to him, I said, "You going?" He said, "No, I don't think I'm going." I said, "Well, why ain't you going?" He said, "I'm tired." And honest God, down inside, I have judged him. "Oh, you sorry thing. Don't you get up and go." What I didn't realize, he's 25 years older than I was. And now that every once in a while, I have to tie a rope to the wall to pull myself out of the bed in the morning. I'm tired of troubles and problems and heartaches. I got a text this evening. I'll tell you about it after a while. You need to know it. I'll tell you about it, Brother Winslow. You know the plan. I got a call this morning before I come out here. Had to tell the guys that I'll call you tomorrow. I'm driving home. A pornography outbreak in his church, and one of the men molested a girl, and ugly thing. I'm tired. I'm just tired. I told church here a while back, I said, "I just sometimes think I can hang it up." He said, "Take you a 2-week vacation." I said, "I'm tired in a way that a vacation won't fix."
Yeah.
It's going to take more than 2 weeks to Gatlinburg or whatever. I know God can restore us, and he does. And if he didn't, none of us could go tomorrow. But I'm tired. I've asked the Lord during the millennium if he'll give me a Sealy posturpedic mattress and a good Downs pillow and 1,000 acres down yonder in Tennessee somewhere with a fence 40 feet high, no telephone around it, and let me sleep for the 1,000-year rain. That'll work. Somebody wake me up just before the 1,000 years is gone and get ready to step off into eternity. Anybody here is tired? Tired, just weary. But there's a change coming.
Amen.
One day the phone won't ring no more. No more bad news. No more heartache. God will just wipe all tears away. No more death. No more crying. No more pain. Job, how you gonna make it? Your family's dead. Your flesh is diseased. Your finances are about gone. Your fate's dwindling. Looks like your father's destroying you. Your fame's been denied you. Your friends have departed you. How you gonna make it, Job? I'm gonna just wait till my change comes. And when the change comes, it'll be all right. Let's all stand, Brother.